In Traverse City, the restoration of an old barn reveals an old message left by a grumpy worker.
Also put hay in here July 12th so the brown nosers could go to the parade.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlaken Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. That story is coming up. The Up North Lowdown is 9 minutes of Northern Michigan every weekday. We're glad you're with us. Let's begin with a look at food pantries in Northern Michigan, where demand is up. Last year, the Father Fred Foundation Food Pantry in Grand Traverse County served 47,000 people, a striking number in a county of more than 90,000. While Michigan's poverty rate is just over 10%, nearly half of residents above the poverty line still cannot afford basic needs like housing, food, and health care. For many on the edge, places like Father Fred's Pantry are essential to getting by. IPR reporter Maxwell Howard has more.
For the last 20 years, Emil Strang has been going on and off again to Father Fred's food pantry. Sitting on his porch out in Thompsonville, Strang says things aren't getting easier.
Yeah, the prices of everything is just skyrocketing, you know. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people are having this hardship time is because of the grocery prices, the fuel prices, even electricity.
Strang doesn't always need help. He's owned his home for the last 30 years, working two jobs at one point to get by.
I've been a dairy farmer. I've bounced in bars. I've been a bartender. I managed a bar. I worked at Sam's Club.
In all those jobs, Strang was standing. Eventually, he needed knee surgery. Since then, he hasn't been able to work a job, living off of disability, and now, this year, Social Security.
To me, poor is when you're homeless and you don't have nothing. That's plain out poor, from what I figure. But I'm not wealthy. I'm not even, they classify me, I want to say middle class, but I'm not even that. I'm just above poor.
Strang is just one example of a person helped by Father Fred. But his story has overlapped with another group in need. Amanda Nothat, a poverty researcher at the University of Michigan, says this wider group is called ALICE.
ALICE is Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed.
Again, that's Asset Limited Income Constrained and Employed. ALICE is a different way to measure need as opposed to the federal poverty line. Almost 40% of households in Northwest Michigan are below this ALICE threshold. It's a need group that many people move in and out of as life circumstances change.
You know, ALICE looks at transportation costs, healthcare costs, housing costs, takes into account like childcare costs, and then, you know, other costs that people need to live on a day-to-day basis.
Emil Strang wouldn't be classified as ALICE since he's not working, but his finances mirror many working families who earn too much to get federal poverty assistance, yet still struggle to get ahead. To get by, many of those households rely on local efforts instead, like Father Fred's food pantry.
I think what we see the most is people living paycheck to paycheck.
That's Annette McPherson, director of guest services at Father Fred.
We're seeing a lot more of people that have lost jobs due to downsizing or illness or injury where a job just wouldn't hold their position for them while they were off. That seems to be a trend.
After the COVID-19 pandemic, pantry visits increased by 65%, and that number has continued to grow by 5 to 6% annually. On a recent morning, about 30 people were lined up before the pantry opened. Volunteers told me they've served up to 150 people a day. Before picking up food, guests identify their family size. It's a number that goes into the count of individuals served, which was about 47,000 people last year.
Yeah, it is a big number. And every year we look at it and say, ha, we did it again this year.
Father Fred is open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, with extended hours on Wednesday. Father Fred provides food and support with no requirements. For IPR News, I'm Maxwell Howard.
Building 206. Once part of the old Traverse City State Hospital, reopened this week as an educational center and event space. And as leaders unveiled the new space, a message from the past emerged, frozen in time. IPR's Claire Keenan-Kurgan has that story.
For patients at the Traverse City State Hospital, working on the facility's farm was a part of their mental health treatment until the late 1950s. Matt Cowell is standing inside what used to be the hayloft of one of the barns, barn number 206. The cows used to graze from right here at the Botanic Garden, across what's now Silver Lake Road, over to where the Meyer is these days.
West Middle School, all the way out to Division Street, so the lawn and pines areas and things full of cows.
Today, the newly renovated hayloft has brand new floors and windows, big TV screens, a kitchen with new appliances set up for catering. But in the midst of all that, there's a message scrawled into one of the beams holding up the tall wooden ceilings. A piece of plexiglass is protecting it.
Someone threw a coat of white paint on this bare wood beam and in pencil left an ode to their day here working in the loft level. The gentleman's name is Cecil Morrison. And the direct quote is, "Put hay in this damn barn, July 3rd, 1957. It did rain, looked rainy. No pay until night. Everything at this place going to hell."
The summer of 1957 would have been the last season that the farm was operational. They shut it down that winter.
Also put hay in here July 12th so the brown nosers could go to the parade.
July 12th was the last day of the Cherry Festival that year. Cowell is the director of the Regional Recreational Authority, which manages this property. The building reopened this week for the first time since the farm closed. It's now called the Deborah J. Edson Family Education Center. It's available for classes, catered events, and receptions. It's part of the Botanic Garden, which is free to visit and makes a big chunk of its money from event rentals. This hayloft space will bring in even more of that revenue. Cowell exits the shiny new space and heads outside, down a small hill and to a door on the outside of the building on the lower floor. It still has a no trespassing sign up. This part has not been renovated. It's cold down here, and there's still farm equipment from decades ago lying around.
Old fire doors.
There's a mountain of old cork bricks they're still trying to figure out what to do with inside one of the old cow milking stalls.
You know, that cow would kind of put their head in, have a little snack. The other side was getting milked.
They haven't found the money to open this part to the public yet. And Cowell says there was no reason for anyone to clean all this stuff up when the farm shut down, now almost 70 years ago.
The way I've always thought of it is it'd be like the end of any other job, right? Like, you're no longer employed, so you walked away too, right? They locked the door behind you on the last day, and here everything's sat.
Until perhaps his group finds the time and the money to unlock these doors too. For IPR News, I'm Claire Keenan-Kurgan.
That's the Up North Lowdown for Thursday, May 7th. Our producer is Austin Rolater, editing by Steve Junker. Music by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.